Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. It's been so destroyed, so utterly, completely destroyed, and the people have been massacred in the place that only demons live there. It's a neighborhood that only foul spirits and demons want to live in, and that's a bad neighborhood.
Today on Practical Christian Living, we continue in our journey through Revelation to chapter 18, which begins with a mighty angel proclaiming the destruction of Babylon. With all the evil and abominations that have taken place during the tribulation period, we know how the story ends, and we know our God rules and reigns forever. With the first part of our study in Revelation chapter 18, the final destruction of Babylon, here's Robert Furrow.
Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it's profound, it's life-changing. You said you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. My word is truth. Lord, we want to know it. We want to hear it. And we thank you that you've given us this direction here with Babylon. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, we continue our study with Mystery Babylon, which is in chapter 17, 18, and half of 19. Today, we will cover chapter 18 in a message entitled The Final Destruction of Babylon. We already saw the destruction last week. We saw that she rides the beast, which represents the beast's final revived world kingdom. And there are 10 horns that rule with him. So he rules and 10 horns rule with him. And the 10 horns are 10 kings. And they rule with him for a short time, it said. And they turn on the woman and they devour her and they burn her with fire and they completely destroy her. Now, the woman is an economic system and a religious system that is riding the beast, which is a political system. And the one riding the beast is the one controlling it. So in the beginning of the tribulation period, this economic and religious system looks like it's controlling the political system of the Antichrist. But in the middle, they want their own religion. The false prophet will do signs and wonders and cause people to worship the beast. They'll put up an image in the temple, the newly rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and they will make people bow down and worship the beast and their own economic system. You can't buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. In order for them to have their new religious and new economic system, they have to destroy the one that brought them into power. The woman who rode on the beast is turned and devoured by them. Probably right in the middle of the tribulation period when they put up the abomination of desolation within the temple. Now, this tells us that this is happening in the beginning of the tribulation period, which means there is a financial boom before there's a financial bust. Things are going to go totally crazy. But in the beginning, there's going to be a financial boom. Now, some believe there are two Babylons, a religious Babylon and an economic Babylon. And we're talking about two different destructions, a destruction here and a destruction in chapter 18. But that's not the case. They are one. And some even see a political Babylon. But again, we know she's riding the beast, which represents a political kingdom and a politician, the Antichrist. No, I won't say it. I was going to make a very bad joke, but I won't. Some politicians are Antichrist. We'll put it that way. Not all politicians, some politicians. Just to understand that we're talking about one system that is religious and economic, look at the last verse in chapter 17. This is after the destruction of the woman. It says, "And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of men." So the woman on the back of the beast, who had scarlet and gold and pearls, and had a cup of abominations, and made the world drunk on her fornications, is the great city, and rules over the kings of the earth. And the point that I made last week when we looked at that is we want a dog in the hunt. We want to be able to say, I think Mystery Babylon is this. I think Mystery Babylon is that. We want to have a position. But here's the thing. What rules over the nations of the world today? Is it Rome? Is it Jerusalem? Is it Mecca? What fits? There's nothing that fits. We've got to be talking about something in the future. I'll tell you what my dog is. My dog in the hunt is Hollywood. I think Hollywood is Babylon. Vegas, that's the other one. Vegas is Babylon. That's what I think. I'm kidding on both accounts, all right? I'm just saying that I think this happens to pastors for a certain reason. I think that when you talk to a scholar who has a PhD and he specializes in an area, he's very well informed. He'll tell you, we know this, this, and this, and this we don't know. They're not afraid to tell you that we don't know. We just don't have enough information for this. The same is true when you're talking to archaeologists. Archaeologists will tell you, we know this, we know that, we know this, and here's why, but this we don't know. We haven't found anything along those lines yet, so we don't know. We don't know what layer or year that was found in. We haven't been able to identify the pottery from that time yet. Pastors, we're pastoring. We're not just locked in a room, you know, studying 40 hours a week. I would like that, but I like pastoring too. But we're pastoring, we're doing stuff, we're out pastoring. And so sometimes we don't have all the information that we would like to have. And so the temptation is to look very confident. It's the Vatican. That's who this is. You know, it's Rome. It's whoever it is, whoever you want to say it is. Well, here's the truth. It could be. It could be Rome. It could be Mecca. It could be Jerusalem. It could not be Hollywood or Vegas. But it could be any of these other ones. Listen to the religion that comes out of Babylon. I read this last week, but I want to read it again. This is Isaiah 47, 12 through 13. This is the Bible telling us what the religion was in Babylon. Babylon was a system whereby men built a tower going to heaven to get a life without God, to get to the stars to find out what direction they were going, so they could read the stars to be able to tell their future. That's what Babylon was. And Babylon really represents a godless life today. We as Christians are not to live like we're in Babylon. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our understandings. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. But some of us get up in the morning and check our horoscope. And that's Babylon. That's godlessness. Trusting in God is being with Him. And I want to show you how this is true. So this is Isaiah 47, 12 and 13, and God's talking about the destruction of Babylon. The old Babylon that He's punishing them here from under Nebuchadnezzar because of the way they mistreated Israel. Now, God raised up Babylon to take Israel into captivity, but then God judged them because they didn't treat them right. They could have treated them right. God raised them up, but then God judged them because they didn't. And so here's what He says to them. He's telling them, I'm going to destroy you now. And now He's getting a little uppity with them, a little sarcastic with them. Listen to what He says. This is God. Stand now with your enchantments. What are enchantments? Spells. Make your spells. Stand now. Stand there and make your spells. And multiply your sorceries. What are sorceries? That's Satan worship. It's the worship of demons. So multiply your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. So Babylon did this from the time it was a youth. These are the things it did. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied by the multitude of your counselors. The wise counselors of Babylon. They took people from around the world. They brought them in. Daniel was one of the counselors of Babylon. And they brought him in and they thought that it made him wiser. Trust in your counselors, he's saying. Let your astrologers and stargazers. We could add psychics into this under sorcery. And the monthly prognosticators. This is the horoscope. It's the zodiac. It's looking for your future with the zodiac. Stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Let all of these things stand up and save you. Really, they're doing nothing. You're trusting in the world, trying to move away from God. Have you ever thought how crazy it is? You know, I joke about Hollywood being Babylon, but you ever thought how crazy it is that the world of the movies doesn't have a God? The world of the movies, the movies that come out of Hollywood, they don't ever stop and think, let's pray. Let's call on God and see what happens. They just are moving through a godless system. It's just a presentation of Babylon, trusting in yourself and trusting in other things. Now, let's talk a little bit about its identity, the identity of Babylon. I've already made a few jokes about it, but let's talk about it. First of all, reject the very poor conclusions of a poorly researched book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. I know I've talked about it before, but I want to make sure if someone's listening to this study for the first time that they know that that book has 800 footnotes that are useless. And the connections that they make are poor connections. It is from Alexander Hislop, that we learned that Easter came from Ishtar. The only problem? It didn't come from Ishtar. It came from a Germanic word that is connected to Easter. And the Germans came over to America and began saying the Germanic word, which became Easter to us. Bunnies and eggs were not worshipped by Ishtar. There's no evidence, no proof of that at all. It's poor connections. Why are there bunnies and eggs around Easter? Because it's the spring, and there's bunnies and eggs, nests with eggs in them all around. That's why they're there. Alexander Hispel did things like this. The pagans breathed, and so do we. You're pagan. Now, that's an exaggeration, but that's the kind of connections that he made. He made poor connections. And if you are a pastor, do not use it. Okay, so you're pastoring. You're going to go through the book of Revelation. You see, you got 2.5 chapters on Babylon. So you go long before you ever get there, and you order books, resources, to be able to read and study. So you order the two Babylons. Then when you're teaching this passage, you say, well, Nimrod was married to Semiramis, and Semiramis had Tammuz, not understanding that Nimrod lived long before Semiramis ever lived. And it's all made up. It's all fake. It's not true. If they were married, it was a miracle of time. They got married in different millenniums. They got married in. The whole Queen of Heaven connection. All of these things are just poor connections. And I just wanted to say it again. And I'm going to actually do a little hot topic on it where I go into all the details about this because I really want pastors to stop using it. I listened again to someone I respect today, and they came out of the chutes with Nimrod was married to Semiramis, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to talk about this tonight. No, I didn't say that, but here I am. All right. So first of all, stop using that book. It's messed up. In my notes, it says made up. I changed that to messed up just for you. Whoever this is, whoever it is, Babylon, whoever it is a city of the future because no city or system, for that matter, has all the criteria of this city. There's nothing you can point to that says fills all of the criteria. So it's the future, and it's called Mystery Babylon, so we don't really know. Now, it doesn't mean you can't lean towards something. It just means there's no need to be dogmatic. I shared with you last week that dogmatic people are wrong 50% of the time. I believe now it's 70% of the time. That's my own made-up statistic, by the way. Hey, other people make up statistics. I can make up my own, too. Whatever it is, it has an economic and a religious control, and it controls politics. It is the same thing. They are not different. The woman who rides the beast is the great city who rules over the kings of the earth. Now, who could it be? The traditional position for hundreds of years has been Rome and the Vatican. Now, remember, in the tribulation period, the church has been taken up to meet the Lord in the air. So all that is left in the Vatican are those who are not genuinely saved. And there is enough going on in the Roman Catholic Church that is wrong that being able to hang on to that. So first of all, there's so much there wrong that we shouldn't slander them anymore. We shouldn't slander them and make them worse than what is already going on. But what you've got left is the ungodly that will be there. Rome was the world power during the day they wrote this. The revival of the Roman Empire, the legs were iron, the toes and the feet were iron and clay. So it's a weaker government, so it could be Rome. In Daniel chapter 9, it says, the prince of the people of the city who destroy Jerusalem will make a covenant with many for 1 week. That's a week of years, 7 years. The people who destroyed Jerusalem after that was written were, by hundreds of years, by the way, were Rome. So the Antichrist is thought to be connected to Rome. Now remember, Rome controlled the world. And there were emperors that were not only Roman, they didn't all come from Italy. They came from other places. So you don't have to come from Italy to be part of that Roman Empire. It just has to be connected to it. Some believe it is New York and the United States. Now, I think this is very weak, but who knows? I mean, things could change, right? Do you think that New York has enough economic clout that they could become an economic power that would lead the whole world? Do you think the United States has enough religious things going on that aren't genuine when all the Christians are removed, that there could be something that would be left behind that would become the religious Babylon? As I said, I think it's weak, but it could be. I had brought this up now it seems like a couple months ago, but I'm beginning to think this could be more and more plausible. And that is that the Antichrist is Islamic. Rome had two capitals. Rome and Constantinople. Constantinople was in Turkey. Rome was destroyed, and Constantinople went on for almost 1,000 years, continued on while they were destroyed. And during that time, they became Islamic. All the nations around Israel today, if you look at a map of the religions of the world and you go to the Middle East, they are surrounded by those who are Islamic. There's two denominations, for lack of a better word, in Islam. There's Sunni and Shi'i. The Shi'i are the more radical. Saudi Arabia is mostly Sunni, 85% Sunni, even though, how many of the attackers on 9/11 came out of Saudi Arabia? I forget the number, I think it was 8 out of 11, something like that, came out of Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia has a ton of wealth and could easily be the economic power at the end of the time. It could be Medina, it could be Mecca. Both of those are in Saudi Arabia. It could be a new city. They're literally creating land in Dubai and building cities. They're building a city called The Line in the middle of Saudi Arabia that's going to stretch for miles, and it's got the 15-minute rule in it. You live on the edges of it, and then there's parks and stuff in the middle and Starbucks and all the stuff you want, and everything you need is 15 minutes away from where you live. And then they multiply, and they do it again, and then they do it again. So it's no cars. That's the idea. There will be no cars. It's supposed to be the city of the future. Islam has shed the blood of the saints. One of the criteria of Mystery Babylon is that she's shed the blood of the saints, and Islam has done that. Islam is looking for a world ruler. They believe that the Mahdi is going to come on the scene and going to rule the entire world. So Islam, the religion, could be the religious Babylon, the part of it's religious, and then you could have the city being Mecca or The Line or one of those things. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying there's a lot of connections that fit. A lot of connections fit better there than America and New York. Like I said, it's kind of weak. America and New York, you don't really find any connections. But there's more connections with the Islam. And people I respect, like Joel Rosenberg, believe it. I heard Skip Heitzig talking about it. He talked about it like he believed it. I haven't talked to him about it yet. I want to. But I heard him teach on it. So they're at least thinking through this whole Islamic aspect. Now, they also say that Babylon could be rebuilt like a phoenix out of the ashes. But Isaiah 13:19 says it will never be inhabited again. Today, it's been set up as a reserve by the UN, and they don't use the word reserve. I can't find it in my notes here. But anyway, that's good enough. It's a reserve. No one can live there. It's like a national park here today. No one can live there. So, and God said it would never be inhabited again. All right? So let's get into our text. With all of that in mind, that it's Mystery Babylon, it's something in the future, it could be any of these things, and let's just watch it unfold. We're just watching here. We're going to be out at some point, and we'll probably begin to see this come to play a little bit, the Gog and Magog war start somewhere, and the temple being rebuilt. Those are the next things. The rise of Mystery Babylon, the Magog war, and the rebuilding of the temple. Three things that are on the horizon for the tribulation period. All right, 24 verses. You ready? I shouldn't talk so long. All right, let's go. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his glory. But one day when we get to see all of the angels and what they're like, an angel that can illuminate the earth with its glory. What an angel. I don't believe it's Jesus. Obviously, there are people who say it is, but I don't think it is, because we've seen other angels as powerful, and this is another angel, and this is another of the same kind, of the last angel. And he cried with a mighty and loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. We saw its destruction in chapter 17. By the kings that rule with the Antichrist, turned on her, devoured her flesh, burned her with fire. Now this angel is declaring that she has fallen. The world is learning, and has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. It's been so destroyed, so utterly, completely destroyed, and the people have been massacred in the place that only demons live there. It's a neighborhood that only foul spirits and demons want to live in, and that's a bad neighborhood. On top of that, there's birds there that are hated. What kind of birds are hated? Vultures? You like vultures much? Why would they be there? Because of all the people that have died and every hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. They bought into her religious system. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. God uses fornication in the Old Testament and the New Testament as an analogy of idolatry. In the Old Testament, God said, Israel has committed fornication under every green tree. And by context, we know it was idolatry. In James, James says to us, to the church, to us, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? When you make yourself a friend of the world, you are an enemy to God. And so the fornication is idolatry. And women are used in the Bible at times to speak of religious systems. You've got the woman in Revelation 12, clothed in the sun, the 12 stars are in her head, she represents Israel. You've got the bride of Christ, which is the church, and more than that really, it's all of those that have a relationship with Christ. But the bride of Christ, this system of religion, Christianity, the real one, is the bride of Christ. You've got Jezebel earlier in the book of Revelation, that we have the original Jezebel married Ahab, and then you've got a Jezebel that's brought up when he's writing letters to the church, which speaks of a religious system as well. So it says that all the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. She is full of luxury, and the merchants of the earth have become rich. This is the financial boom. It doesn't mean everybody in the world gets rich, but it does mean the merchants get rich, and the merchants have to have people that are working for them. And there is a financial boom. And when a financial boom is destroyed, can you think about how bad they would feel? This city has been a luxurious city. And I heard another voice come out saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. Now there is a call to come out of Babylon. Now this is, if it's in the middle of the tribulation period, then you could be talking to Israel, and it could be Jerusalem. It could be the system then. Then and that would follow the Islamic mindset, by the way, that the religious and the economic power would be the city of Jerusalem, which is called a great city in chapter 11, by the way. In chapter 11, when it says that they laid out the two witnesses, they laid them out, which is, by the way, an Islamic practice. It's crazy how many little connections there are. When Islam kills their enemies, what do they do with their bodies? They drag them around the streets. They display them openly, which is what they do to the bodies of the two witnesses. So the whole world looks at them. And they laid the bodies out in the city which is called, spiritually, Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. So the city of Jerusalem gets so contaminated, and God says that great city, which is called spiritual Egypt and Sodom, where our Lord was crucified. So Israel is called that great city.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.